Today on JSEC Yo Live, you thought we'd get through this confirmation hearing in a very classy, classy way? No. Repulsive questions hit. Amy Coney Barrett.
Live from Washington, D.C., JSEC Yo Live.
There's one group in America I think has had a hard time of it, and that's conservatives of color and women conservatives. There's an effort by some in the liberal world to marginalize the contribution because you come out on a different side of an issue, particularly abortion. So this hearing to me is an opportunity to not punch through a glass ceiling, but a reinforced concrete barrier around conservative women. You're going to shatter that barrier.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This is history being made, folks. Oh, yeah. This is the first time in American history that we've nominated a woman who's unashamedly pro-life and embraces her faith without apology, and she's going to the court.
And now your host, Logan Seculo.
That's right, this is Logan Seculo, sitting in for my dad and brother here on JSEC Yo Live. Got my buddy Will Haynes, got Dan Bennett, Washington, D.C. Wasn't planning on being here, but I'm here for you today. That's right, sometimes you got to call in some of the people from the bench and say you got to come up here and talk about what's happening here, Will. And you heard in that open, Amy Coney Barrett, obviously we're into day three now of the hearings. Yesterday was like the first real day where like they actually went back and forth. She didn't just have to sit there and do opening statement.
First questions day.
We were all expecting after day one, it would be kind of mild. For the most part, a lot of it is. However, some senators threw out some pretty nasty questions, threw out some nasty comments. There's a lot of pop culture reference, which I appreciate. There was like two or three Star Wars references within. There was a cantina scene reference. There was a galactic Imperial Senate reference. I was pretty cool with that. Like, you know, at least keep it interesting. But overall, there were some moments, Will, we're going to talk about them, especially coming up in the next segments. It got pretty hardcore. As they said, you know, these are moments where a conservative female is up there. You would think there would be some respect there. Her kids are in the audience. That it would be a little bit different. And, you know, Lindsey Graham mentioned shattering the barrier. And to paraphrase something my dad would say, when you shatter the barrier, the demons and the zombies would come out. This is Halloween season. And it felt that way in the Senate for the confirmation hearing, Will, Amy.
That's right. And we'll get into it in the next segment. But after what started out seeming a pretty tame hearing, and really what all the media outlet is, well, it shows the Democrats know that she's just going to sail through. They're not really trying to go too aggressive. They mainly framed it around the Affordable Care Act for most of the hearing and trying to make it more political, which she called out many times, like, you're talking about policy here. Yeah.
Which they do every time. Right. They always bring up, how are you going to vote on Roe? I can't answer that question. No kidding. That's not the process. And then that's not the process ever been. But for some reason, they feel like that's a gotcha question, as if the people who are watching these hearings haven't watched the last few.
Yeah, Logan, I mean, I think it is also evidence they don't have a whole lot substantive to ask. I think it's evidence of what you just had the conversation with Will, that they know she's going to be confirmed. In fact, we had a couple of senators, specifically Sheldon Whitehouse today, say something along the lines to Judge Barrett of, when you get up to the court, keep this in mind, as if it's almost a foregone conclusion. But I do think it's evidence that they know it's fait accompli. They know that Judge Barrett did very good job yesterday. They know they can't stop her. I know we're waiting to the next segment to get into this, Logan, but look, some of the lines of questioning, over the line. I've got to tell you, over the line.
Absolutely over the line. We'll get to those. You actually get to hear them coming up in the next segment, so stay tuned. Share this with your friends. We got a big show ahead to really break down everything that happened yesterday, day one, and now they're on break right now, which is good for us because we're able to talk to you on day three of the confirmation hearings. Give us a call also, 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. I also did want to say, thanks to the work of the ACLJ, we also have just launched the first video on the Bald Beagle YouTube channel. If you have kids, check out Bald Beagle on YouTube or just go to baldbeagle.com. Our first video, George Washington, Love to Dance, is available right now. It's a great informational video when your kids need it the most. So check it out there and support that work at aclj.org. We'll be right back with more on JSEC Yo Live.
Mm-hmm. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live, this is Logan Sekulow and Will Haynes, the Logan Sekulow Reprogram, also joined by Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., and I thought it was important to make sure we have Than on because this stuff was happening in Washington, D.C. Obviously, we're into day three of the Amy Coney Barrett confirmation hearings.
That's right.
Supreme Court. As Than said, it's almost a predetermined situation of her passing and making it through. But you never know the kind of curveballs. We thought that with Brett Kavanaugh as well. That had already sort of wrapped up when everything reopened. I think people were expecting that kind of fireworks, definitely a calmer situation. However, Than, that did not stop a few choice senators hitting some low blows.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I thought the low point in the hearing yesterday, Logan, was when Senator Hirono was questioning Judge Barrett. She had a whole line of questioning, but then at one point she decided that she was going to ask a 48-year-old mother of seven whether or not she's ever committed sexual assault. I kid you not. Yeah. I think you're probably going to play the sound, but Logan, I mean, she said, since you became a legal adult, have you ever made unwanted requests for sexual favors? Went on to ask about sexual assault. Look, Logan, I mean... we're supposed to have a presumption of innocence on everything in the United States of America, but especially when you're talking about a sitting judge with a record that she has, with a family and children sitting behind her, to go down this line of questioning without any evidence, without any reason or inclination to go down it, Logan, that's what bothered me.
And they're obviously referring, they're trying to make a reference, make people remember about the Kavanaugh hearings.
Right.
But also, can you imagine... We're currently at the ACLJ. We're currently in a season of actually hiring. There's actually some job openings. We're doing a lot of interviews. Can you imagine sitting down in an interview, like Than said, with no reason to ask this question, no, you know, version of this saying, okay, it's a quick question. Let's take a listen the senator from Hawaii.
Hawaii,
yes.
This is Senator Hirono, Bite 18. Let's roll it.
To ensure the fitness of nominees for a lifetime appointment to the federal bench or to any of the other positions for any of the committees on which they appear, I ask each nominee these two questions, and I will ask them of you. Since you became a legal adult, have you ever made unwanted requests for sexual favors or committed any verbal or physical harassment or assault of a sexual nature?
No, Senator Hirono.
Have you ever faced discipline or entered into a settlement related to this kind of conduct?
No, Senator.
Well, there you go. I mean, a pretty direct answer there, but also a question that I think made everyone cringe in the audience, made everyone feel a little strange. The lack of audience they had, obviously, but even the people that there, everyone watching at home, made a lot of headlines. This is one of the questions. I mean, I heard about this last night. People brought it up to me. Did you see this? Can you believe this? And yes, of course, I can believe it. This is the times we're living in, where nothing is off base, like you said, regardless of who's in the audience, or if you feel like this, there's even any sort of claim to this, that you can hit them with something so egregious. It's really inappropriate. It's really disturbing. And I'm glad to see that overall, it does actually seem to have struck a nerve with people on maybe both sides here.
Well, and the other thing to me is her family is in the audience. They're sitting there right behind her, and she's being asked these demeaning questions.
They do that, though. I mean, that's
their entire game plan. But it's the subtext of what she's asking, why she's asking to this accomplished judge. Yeah. And it was just really repulsive. And I think to a lot of people, it was as well.
Yeah.
I know that Senator Hirono tries to put forward that I'm asking everyone this. Well, I mean, since the Kavanaugh, all for political points. It doesn't, it's just, if there were ethics violations or things of that nature, that would be a different way to go about that. Not in just a weird, open-ended, pointed question like this when there's no allegation of any of the sort against the judge.
We have a decent amount of listeners in Hawaii. If you're listening right now in Hawaii, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. I want to know how you feel about this senator representing you and your Hawaiian values, because I think that's something that I know a lot of people, I've met many people from Hawaii. I feel like this is not the kind of questions they want to ask. Great family people there. Well, there's other topics you obviously hit, ones that are very important to our listeners, whether it was abortion and pro-life situations. And a lot of times they were trying to get that gotcha answer. And she was pretty straightforward, said that she believes what she believes, but is also here to uphold the rule of law.
She's really just done a fantastic job of stating her judicial philosophy, being an originalist, a textualist, and also saying, you know, her mentor was Scalia, the late Justice Scalia, and
Scalia.
Right. But also that she's saying, you know, because of this philosophy, this judicial philosophy, because it's not so political where you can kind of look at a liberal judge and know how they're going to rule every time, almost based on the politics of it, that it's refreshing to hear the way she describes originalism, that there are differences within that philosophy, that judicial philosophy. And I think that she's done a very good job showcasing that, as well as presenting herself as someone who will be an impartial judge.
And speaking of it being political, I think you had, obviously, Kamala Harris made a few appearances so far throughout this, really using this as a campaign stop.
Right.
And grandstanding. And then I think if you look at really her statements, I'm not sure if we have any polled specifically, you know, she talks about what's happening with Amy Barrett, but it's certainly not holding back on this being a good moment for her to get some viewers and get some ratings in the terms of the election.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts on that, Logan. First of all, once again, she was participating virtually from literally one floor down from the hearing room.
And they still couldn't get a good connection.
I know. I don't understand that, Logan, but I also don't understand how it's safe one floor down, but not in the room that CDC has actually certified as compliant. But that aside, she got an opportunity last night in prime time to issue questioning. And yeah, she largely turned it into a campaign speech. Judge Barrett didn't have a whole lot of opportunity to respond. But to your point about bringing up hot topic issues, again, she lectured a 48-year-old mother of seven about abortion frequently.
Yeah.
And she did it, ironically, Logan, while submitting for the record two letters of opposition, one from Planned Parenthood and one from Planned Parenthood Action. So clearly it's not disqualifying for Kamala Harris to have a pro-abortion view, but apparently it might be for Judge Barrett to have a pro-life view. So I hope the irony of that wasn't lost on the American people.
Think it was. And I think people look and they do say, look, we're in election season. We're not telling you who to vote for, but elections have consequences. You've heard us say that ad nauseum, but they do. And this is one of them. Look, you're hopefully putting up justices that not only are going to uphold the law, but are part of what the American people are looking for. And I think that this is one of those picks, hopefully. You know, you never know. I think we've all been in those situations where you think a justice, that's one, maybe the good and the bad of it. is going to go one way and they definitely go the other. It's just part of it. So that's why I am not the person who, I'm not going to wear my Amy Coney Barrett t-shirt. I'm not going to buy the coffee mug and say that this is the great savior. You know, that's not how this should roll. I think that there is a want to do that because it's a refreshing moment. Look, and I hope she does a great job and I hope she rules how she feels is correct. However, you never know. You know, the people did that for Roberts. People have done that for other Supreme Court justices that have certainly had mixed opinions, to say the least. So I kind of always want to put that caveat in there. Before you go put on the bumper sticker and the t-shirt, yes, do we think she should be confirmed? Absolutely. And do I think that she represents a lot of the views that we do here at the ACLJ? I believe she does as well. However, you never know, and you never know until they're actually there ruling, and I think it changes a lot. Let's see, we got 2 minutes. Should we take a call?
Sure, yeah. Let's go to Scott calling on line 3 from Colorado. Scott, you're on Jay Sekulow Live.
Welcome, Scott. Thanks for tuning in with me and Will and Than.
Okay, well, Logan, thanks for my call. Yeah, my first comment was I just loved ACB's poise when she didn't get trolled into speculative positions on what she would, if ACA came up or Roe v. Wade, and because they haven't happened yet. So, and that, you know, they didn't do that with others, you know, and trying to commit herself to being recused. Yeah, my question is this. I thought I saw maybe an apparent contradiction. Obviously, they use this to score political points. Several Democratic senators mentioned COVID, which I have no idea what that has to do with ACB. But they also were trying to protect their tender idol of the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, if the Affordable Care Act was meant to help minorities particularly, and the death toll was highest among minorities, isn't that sort of an argument against the Affordable Care Act? That it didn't work as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily want Scott. It's great. It's an interesting comment. I certainly don't want to get into the science of COVID and what, you know, who is being targeted and not targeted. I don't know enough about that information for me to personally comment on it. However, I think you are right that that does show some of the growing failures within this. And Will, we talked about this and Than as well. That was clearly they all got together and said,
right,
this is the talking point. We're going to mention some pro-life stuff here. We don't like she's pro-life. We're going to mention some of the other social topics. We're going to mention some other things. But really, the big hit is how dare you take away or want to take away, though she didn't say it, the Affordable Care Act, as they say now, say ACA.
Right. And to Scott's point, they were clearly trying to get her to make political statements, policy statements, and she every time went back to, that is not my job as a judge or justice on the Supreme Court to make policy decisions. That is for the legislative branch. I am here to rule on the letter of the law. Yep.
All right, we get back. I want to take some more of your phone calls. The phone lines are lighting up. There are some people who are calling, including calls from Hawaii. So we're going to take some of those. When we get back on Jay Sekulow Live, check out the Logan Sekulow Reprogram on YouTube.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow, me and Will, and Than Bennett, but me and Will, who do the Logan Sekulow reprogram, sitting in for the first half hour of Jay Sekulow Live, so thanks for having us. We are going to take some phone calls, and I want to hear about what your thoughts are on Amy Coney Barrett, the third day now of the hearings. There was a really extreme conversation that went back and forth from the senator from Hawaii.
That's
and
right.
We talked about this, her essentially asking about, you know, sexual assault and things of that nature. And a really inappropriate, really, again, kind of a cringe moment that happened. We do have a phone call from a caller from Hawaii, from Lena.
That's right. Lena, line one in Hawaii. You're on Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate it. I totally agreed with your comments about the woman from Hawaii. I am from Hawaii. I am an islander. And it was such a disgraceful, shameful, the way she asked such a question as sexual with her family there. The people on this island do not represent what she's doing. And with her family sitting there, that was not an appropriate question. It was nothing pertaining to her, confirmation as a Supreme Court justice. And so I wanted to call in because I saw that on Facebook and on social media, and I put word out for the people on the island to call her office and let her know how we are so disappointed and how she is not representing the people on the island well. I don't know why we voted her back in. I didn't. But I'm sorry to say that she did the same thing for Justice Kavanaugh, how women are to be believed and men should step up. Yep. What a shameful representative from Hawaii.
Yes. Lena, thank you so much for calling, everyone from Hawaii. I think that you represent the voice of Hawaii that I think a lot of people want to hear, and I believe in it. And look, you could say whatever you want. I mean, Hawaii maybe tends to be more liberal than not. However, I've been there. I've experienced it. These are family people. These are people who are amazing, like I said, islanders who do amazing stuff and have just great passion for their families. And to be put in that sort of not only uncomfortable but inappropriate setting, you're right, just does not seem to represent the people who I've met, the people I know from that state. And I would say the same. Look, we're all from the South. I'd say the same thing. If this was coming from Tennessee or this come from Georgia or Alabama, I think you would be surprised and shocked at something like this. Just doesn't feel like it invokes the emotion of what the person is supposed to be representing for the state.
Well, and as Lena brought up, that it didn't feel like it was on par with the values of the people of the state.
Yep.
And I think sometimes the senators get in this Washington bubble, and obviously the senator was trying to score political points. She was trying to make that an issue by doing this on this grand stage and make this point to try to tarnish the reputation of the judge by bringing up what happened in the Kavanaugh hearings. And I think Than can probably speak to this, too. Sometimes, even outside of the left and right issues on policy, that a senator or a congressman or a congresswoman gets to D.C. Yeah. and forgets some of the values of their representatives and just goes straight for the raw political points, and it doesn't play well back home.
I would say it's probably the rule rather than the exception, and I think it's probably why the cry for term limits has gotten louder and louder. Look, Senator Hirono is a duly elected senator from the state of Hawaii, and she has a complete right to have a different view on judicial philosophy than Judge Barrett. She has a complete right to vote against Judge Barrett, both in the committee and on the floor of the Senate. But what I don't think she has a right to do is put forward baseless insinuations and accusations. I mean, the presumption of innocence goes to all American citizens, including those who are putting their names on the line to serve. So, look, I would just say to Senator Hirono, stay in your lane. If you want to vote against the judge, fine, but reflect the views and the values of your residents who voted for you.
And maybe not grandstand this, because then aren't there options also to write in a question? There's other things you can do other than make this big TV moment.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I think that's probably been the most impressive thing about Judge Barrett is these senators, Logan, have a full staff. They've had 2 full weeks to prepare. They can take these questions in any direction right. that they want. It's Judge Barrett who has no idea what's coming. That's what makes her reliance on no notes so impressive. I mean, Senator Hirono was literally reading from a binder full. She selected that question to read. Yep. She prepared to read it. Judge Barrett is the one that didn't know what was coming. But yeah, Logan, it's a great point. Senator Hirono could have gone in any direction she wanted. She chose to go in that one.
Well, and Than, with a question like that, doesn't that make the importance of the senators meeting with the candidate before the hearings, as they were given the opportunity to do,
right.
but all the Democrats declined to do that? Wouldn't that have been a more appropriate place for a question like that instead of grandstanding, putting it on television in front of her family? If you're in a private meeting and you're trying to get to know someone, and I don't think that'd be the question I would go with, but no. wouldn't that have been a more appropriate setting? Yeah. But they chose not to meet there.
I think the question is, if you're trying to glean information from the nominee, then that would have been the more appropriate setting to ask that question. And but Will, if you're looking for a TV moment, if you ask that question behind right. closed doors, it never gets up on TV. I think that's
the distinction. We never mention her. She never gets her name said on radio, and here we are doing it ourselves. Let's take one call before we go into break. Also, Brian in Hawaii calling, I believe, on line two. Brian,
that's right. Brian on line two, you're on Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I just wanted to echo everything that Lena had shared earlier. Now, Senator Hirono's position is not the position that the majority of the people here in Hawaii feel. Now, the majority of people in Hawaii here, they're very family-oriented. The state of Hawaii, because it's blue, unfortunately, it's been that way for about 65 years.
Yeah.
It is corrupt as the day is long. And that's probably the reason why we remain a heavily Democratic-controlled state. But the very fact that she went after the judge in this manner is just, it's an indication of what we deal with during every election cycle, whether it's in between major presidential elections or just for state or, you know, county seats. And it's just, she's continued to do this. And it's an embarrassment. It really is. And for a lot of people, they come here and they have this bad taste in their mouth because they feel that everyone looks at it that way. Now, there's great Democrats across the board, and there's also some that have just lost their mind.
Right.
Now, with Senator Hirono, unfortunately, she has lost her mind. I have no idea why she would choose to, you know, go down that path and ask these particular questions of a woman who is clearly outstanding and a well-deserved choice for the Supreme Court. And ask an outlaw, just an outrageous question. But I just wanted to call and say that we, as she does not speak, and oftentimes she said this, that I speak for the people of Hawaii. She does not.
Yep.
Sure. Her 10 seconds of fame and relevance is, you know, that's really, to me, all she's ever done in her career is to try and be relevant. And this is just more fodder that the Democratic Party here, you know, for the most part, those that are in control, they're lost their mind.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, I think that's a really solid point. We got a minute before we head to break. I want to encourage people to keep listening to the show. If you don't get the second half hour, find us online. We're on Facebook Live right now on the Jay Sekulow page. We're also available on demand later on all social media platforms, as well as the podcast. Brian, I appreciate it. I appreciate people calling from Hawaii and showing what their state really represents. And I think there will be change and people will grow and you will see movement in different states in different directions. People like Brian are some of those really great people who are out there trying to make sure that the people of Washington actually represent them. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Check out our new kids channel, Bald Beagle. That's right, Beagle with a B, on YouTube or baldbeagle.com to support the work and to see that latest video. And check out Will and I each and every day on the Logan Sekulow Reprogram on YouTube. And join us on the Logan Sekulow Reprogram Facebook group. You can do that right now if you're watching. You should join. You're going to have a lot of fun. We'll be right back.